concluding talk, which will be in lieu of our test, called Adventures in Flatlands. To begin, I want to read some verses in John. Let's turn to John 11 first. John 11 and verse 44. Speaking of Lazarus, let's read verse 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 5, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Look at verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." That's all our reading in the book of John. I'd like to remind you of Luke 24, verses 30 and 31. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to the two on the way to Emmaus. He walked with them. He talked with them. He then was asked to stay with them. He went into their house. And in the time in the house, he made himself known through the breaking of the bread. And when he broke the bread and they realized that it was the Lord Jesus with them, he disappeared from among them. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we have read. First, the John 11:44 contrasted with John 20:5-7. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, do you remember that it said he still was wrapped in the grave clothes, right? And is that normal or not? Now, Lazarus being raised from the dead is not a normal thing, but that was unusual. But if he were raised from the dead, would it be normal that he would be still wrapped in the grave clothes? Sure. I mean, if he's in the grave clothes and he came to life the way your body and my body works, he's still in the grave clothes and he's kind of up. I don't know what he looked like, but the Lord instructed people to loose the grave clothes and let him go. However, when we came to John chapter 20, it was altogether different. This time, the Lord Jesus was not still bound in the grave clothes. The grave clothes were still wrapped, lying in the place where the body was. And the parts around the head were where the head was, and the parts around the body were where the body was. It appeared, in this case, that when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, the grave clothes stayed right where they were. And he rose somewhat out of them. And they were wrapped by themselves. It's a difference, isn't it? And this indicates to me that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was not raised with the body he will have when he goes to heaven, what we call a glorified body. It tells me that the body Lazarus had when he rose again was the same kind of body he had the first time, which means I take it Lazarus died twice. That is, he died the Lord Jesus raised him from the dead. And though we don't read the story in John or anywhere else in the Bible, we take it that later he grew old and died, and this time stayed dead, and till the resurrection, of course. And at the future resurrection, he will get a body that is a glorified body, a body that is suited for heaven. The Lord Jesus was different. When he was raised from the dead, he is what 1 Corinthians calls the beginning of the resurrection, the first fruits of the resurrection. The resurrection has three parts. There is the Lord's resurrection from the dead, followed by the rapture, followed by the end, where there is a resurrection at the end of everything. So the Lord Jesus was the beginning of the resurrection where people get their glorified bodies. So his body was different, somehow went through these grave clothes. Well, in relation to the things we've read, let's take a little adventure in a place called Flatlands. And we're going to find out and try and apply this to what we've learned about in these verses. Now, Flatlands is a very unusual place. In Flatlands, everything is in two dimensions. There is no such thing as three dimensions in Flatlands. Now, to give you an idea of what life is like in Flatlands, think of coins on a table, okay? Here are some coins on this table. The coins can move about on the table, left and right, back and forth, but they cannot move up and down, okay? These are in two dimensions. Now, we're going to forget about the fact that the coins are a little bit thick. In Flatlands, there is no thickness either. But think of things being flat on the table. They can move around on the table. They can run into each other on the table like these coins are right now. But they cannot move up or down. They don't even have any concept of up or down. And here are what people look like in Flatlands. You see the women are here. These are the women. They are acute angles, as women should be. And these are the men of Flatlands who are, of course, the obtuse angles. Yes. So that's how you recognize them and tell them apart. Now, let's give you a little Flatlanders quiz here just to see if you understand what life is like in two dimensions in Flatlands. Could Flatlanders clap? Let me ask you that. Well, they can clap. You see, they take their little selves and just, you know, as long as they do it within the plane, right? So if you think of the coins on the table, think of little hairs coming out of the coins. And as long as the hairs stay on the table and move back and forth, they can do that, right? As long as they're in two dimensions. What's that?
Yeah, the hairy nickel,
that's it. Okay, now, could there be traffic jams in Flatlands? Sure, you can have people coming this direction, people coming to stop. Well, one will have to stop for the other will go, this one will go, and there could be a line of traffic, who knows. Could Flatlanders have eyelashes? Well, maybe, but there'll have to be little things that go there. Could there be doors in Flatlands? Could a concept of a door exist? Yeah, you can think of a big circle, you know, big square that has a little flap that goes like this, right? Whoop, they go in, whoop, and then they're in a box, right? You get the idea? Okay, just so long as there is no idea of thickness or of this third dimension here. All right, now just to show you how real this two-dimensional world is. If you were to take the land of Flatlands and draw a line here across it, okay, this line would be a barrier that permanently and effectively seals the two sides from each other. The two sides, because of this line, are dead to each other. They cannot know anything about what's going on the other side. This line is a complete utter barrier. Nobody could get past it. Nobody could. It divided flatlands into two different worlds if such a line were to be drawn. That gives you an idea of what life is like in two dimensions. You got it? Okay. Well, turned out that the flatlanders were extremely smart. The average IQ in flatlands was 180. That's the average IQ. They are not dumb individuals there in flatlands. They were extremely smart, and we have to understand this about them. They were a sophisticated society. Now, the day came when something happened in flatlands that nobody had ever seen before. This was extremely unusual, and it caused the biggest stir in flatlands that anybody could remember. There was a day in flatlands where some mysterious shapes appeared almost out of nowhere. Well, of course, this was the ruckus of the town. Nobody knew what to do. These shapes appeared, and the flatlanders would move around the shapes as best that they could, looking at them. Strangest thing anybody had ever seen. And what was stranger was that no sooner had they appeared and people actually got a good look at them than that they disappeared. And all that they were left with was question marks, one to another. Nobody knew what had happened. Well, of course, the city town council in Flatlands arranged a town meeting where everybody came together, and it was just utter confusion. One said one thing, one said the other. Nobody could explain what had happened. Many witnesses were there to it, and nobody knew what to think of it. There was only really one thing the town agreed on. The only thing the town agreed on that is that if these shapes should ever appear again, they would capture them and study them. Well, of course, they being a smart, intellectual bunch, they wanted to do this. So the plan was hatched to catch these shapes, should they ever appear again, and study them. So they had to think of how this would happen. Now, they didn't even know that the shapes might appear, but nonetheless, they devised this plan. The plan was that they would capture these shapes using this kind of a lasso. They would take, see how this line, it effectively sealed off one side from another? Well, that what they did was they were going to use a barrier like this, and they were going to wrap this barrier completely around in a circle around the shapes. Now, this would mean that no flatlander could get in the circle and no flatlander could get out of the circle, right? It's a permanent barrier. So how would anybody study them if they were put in a circle? Well, they can't. So the plan was this. If the shapes would reappear, they would lasso the shapes into this barrier with a circle with two flatlanders inside of them, inside of the circle. Couple of scientists with enough food provisions to last a week. Now, none of the other flatlanders would be able to see or know what's going on inside, but the plan was that after a week, this barrier would be unlocked. They have a special device for this, and that Mr. and Mrs. Flatlander would be interviewed. Well, the day came, and it actually worked. Oops, sorry. It actually worked. When they were able to catch the shapes, they reappeared and they were quick with their lasso. But it turned out, even though they knew nobody could get outside of one of these barriers, they knew nobody could get outside of a double one. I mean, if one of them sealed it off, then a double one certainly nobody could get out of. And so it was decided a double one it would be. So they caught the shapes and they put them in this double barrier with Mr. and Mrs. Flatlander inside of it, or maybe Dr. and Mrs. Flatlander. They're inside. Now, nobody outside of this circle could know what was going on inside. All they had to do was wait the 7 days that they agreed to open these up and then to find out what happened inside. Well, of course, all of the press of Flatlands was there the day that the barriers would be opened. Cameras were ready and everybody was interested, and people were just anxiously awaiting the opening of these barriers. And I want you to think about this. for us, it would be like trapping two people inside of a ball, a sphere, right? Nobody would be able to get out of that sphere, that ball. But for them, this was their ball. So they opened the barrier up after the 7 days to look inside and find Dr. and Mrs. Flatlander there, aghast. There they were. The shapes weren't there. There were Dr. and Mrs. Flatlander just at a loss. So they brought them out and they interviewed them and they said, well, what happened in there? They said, look, we're going to tell you what we saw. We can't explain it, but we're going to tell you what happened. We were there with the shapes trapped there, and we maneuvered ourselves around the shapes. And at the right time, I was just getting ready to try to capture and to touch and hold the shape. And as I did, the oddest thing happened. It was almost like ice melting in your hands. I mean, the shape just started disappearing in my very hands. And before you know it, it was gone altogether. Now, we know that the shape couldn't get out of this double barrier, so we know it was around somewhere. But I tell you, we looked and we looked, we searched every square inch of that place and could not find what happened. Well, they knew that this couldn't have happened, the people, so they kept interviewing Dr. Flatlander and Mrs. Flatlander. And their story held consistent. Both of them saw the same thing. And nobody could explain it, but nobody could deny that that is what they really saw. Well, they didn't know what to do now. And they started talking to anybody that they could. There was one crazy professor in Flatlands that was suggesting some ideas to them, which not many people caught on to. This person was suggesting something about a third dimension. Now, nobody could really understand it, but this person said, you know how when you're driving down the road, and for those us, we can think of like a coin that's sliding on the table this way, and another coin sliding on the table this way, only the Flatlanders were saying this. You know how when you're driving this way and another person comes this way and you're coming to the same intersection, you know how you're about to crash into one another? Oh yeah, we know that. It's not pretty. We just end up in a big scribble. Anyway, he says, well, think about that, and I want you to think about two approaching the same place at the same time, only one of them goes over, and another one goes under, and they can pass at the same time. And there's like, what is this word you just used, over? And the word you just used, under, we don't know these words. The concept was so foreign to them, but this professor said, no, he really thinks it might exist, a dimension beyond what we understand in our world. Now, you and I understand what happened, right? You and I understand that a visitor came to Flatlands. Now, this plane here is Flatlands. This is the circle that they had made to capture the shapes, being his feet. And he visited Flatlands from the third dimension. And there they were, and they thought there is no way that these shapes could get out. But of course, he just stepped out. Now, you and I have no problem understanding what happened in this picture, right? Because the third dimension to us is understandable. What we find hard to understand is if there might be a dimension beyond ours, right? That would drive our minds bonkers. The same way it drove the mind of the Flatlanders bonkers. Think about it. If you could capture something in a ball, think of a solid steel ball that's hollow inside, and think of capturing something inside of it. And then imagine the thing being able to just hop out at will. Doesn't that bother your mind? That's how the Flatlanders looked at these shapes that appeared and disappeared. Now, well, we told this fun story, and that's the end of the story of Flatlands. The question is, what are we to learn from this? Well, just like the Flatlanders are restricted to two dimensions, So are we restricted to three dimensions of space, right? And just like it was nearly impossible for them to think of a being that is not restricted to two dimensions, it is also hard for us to think of the Lord not being restricted to our three-dimensional world. Remember the passages we read? The Lord Jesus, they were in a sealed room, top, bottom, left, right, front, back, all sealed, doors were locked. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears among them. Now, the Lord did miracles before his resurrection, and there's no reason to think that this could not have been one of them. But it seems that after his resurrection, this idea of his appearing and disappearing becomes almost commonplace. It's almost not even miraculous. It's simply what happens. And he appeared in the locked room once in John 20. He appeared in the locked room twice in John 20. He comes right out of the grave clothes, unlike Lazarus, of course. Now, understand something. I'm not trying to say by this little lesson we understand how the Lord does things. I'm not trying to say that. We don't understand how the Lord does things. What I am trying to say is that we should not think of the Lord as having to be restricted to the world as we know it. That's what I'm saying. This might, and I put this in capital letters because, like I said, I'm not trying to say we've got everything figured out here. This might be an explanation of the Lord's actions after his resurrection, passing through walls, grave clothes, and so on. We're not trying to figure out the methods of the Lord. It is just interesting to think about these things, okay? His ways are infinitely higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. There are things that we think are impossible that may be extremely easily explained when we meet God. Imagine an unbeliever standing before God. God says, well, why didn't you believe on my son? Why didn't you believe me? He says, well, I didn't believe because there was some contradiction. The Bible said the earth was created this way, and I know from science that it had to have happened this way. Or the Bible indicated this at this instance, but I knew that that couldn't happen and it had to be like this. And because I understood the world and the way it works so well, I knew that the Bible was wrong. You know, it might be that God makes an utterly simple explanation and says, well, did you think it could be like this? And he says, yeah, but it couldn't because, oh, yeah, I guess that could work. We don't have all the answers here, do we? Imagine a Flatlander reading a book, reading the Bible of Flatlander's place, that talks about a person appearing and disappearing in one of those sealed circles. You know what a Flatlander would say? Impossible. That book is full of errors. Right? And yet they would be wrong, wouldn't they? It's because they didn't have all of the information. And they could get to heaven and say, that book said that somebody could appear and disappear in one of those circles. We know that can't happen. We're scientists. And imagine God saying, well, did you ever think I could have made things in a third dimension, which could simply come by and visit this way? And they'd be, no, it can't. Oh, yeah, I guess that could work. That's one of the lessons from Flatlands. His ways are infinitely higher than our ways. And when we see things, and happily, we have scriptures that matches what we see in the real world so well. But there could be things here and there that we scratch our heads at and we say, you know, I don't have a perfect explanation for this right now. Could be when we meet God, God might say, oh, well, did you think it could be done like this maybe? We might say, oh, wow, that makes perfect sense. And I think of unbelievers today, atheists who say, I will not listen to this book. because I know it could not be like that. And they're going to be sadly mistaken when they meet God and find out otherwise. Next, we can better understand the words of the Lord that He is near us. Now, the Lord is in heaven, but there are statements that the Lord makes that imply His nearness to us. I am with you even to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you, things of that nature. Now, think of flatlands, right? We in three dimensions, how close could we get to somebody in flatlands and they don't know it? Right? They're locked to a plane. We're in three dimensions. We can come right next to them, right above them. We're right there. And they don't know it because we're just outside of the dimension that they're in. You understand? Who's to say that the Lord Jesus, in a very real sense, is not right next to us, really? We don't see Him in the world we live in. We don't see Him with our physical eyes. Why can't He be right there? Have we figured out God with this picture? No, we're not figuring out God and His ways. It's interesting to think about. In Acts 7, 55 and 56, what's happening? Stephen is being stoned. And as Stephen is being stoned, God opens His eyes to this, the other world, doesn't He? And He says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Lord is there standing at the right hand of God. And He was able to see it. Now, how far away is the Lord Jesus? We say, what, on the other side of the universe? No, maybe further than that. How far away is He? How could Stephen see Him? It may be that the Lord wasn't so far away as much as just in the other world, just in a world that's outside of our three dimensions. And all Stephen had to do was have his eyes open to it. And if you were there, you could be right next to Flatlands, just hovering over it. Nobody in Flatlands would be able to see you unless God opened their eyes and they could just look into that other world and say, oh, look, you're right there. Maybe that's what's going on, maybe not, but it's just fascinating to think about. In Acts 1:9, we read about the Lord's ascension, and He leaves the Mount of Olives and goes up into the sky and is taken into a cloud and disappears. I take it that it is showing a travel to another world. It is not necessarily that other world is on the other side of the Milky Way. It is displaying in picture form so we could see He is traveling to somewhere else, and then He's received into cloud, and then I take it just boop, into another world, another dimension. I mean, not that He's like Voyager spacecraft that has gone, you know, past Neptune and Pluto and keep going kind of thing. And this is helped with Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14, let's turn to that one, because different Bibles read differently for Hebrews 4:14, depending on your translation. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, now I'm going to read it the way it reads in this translation, who has passed through the heavens. How does anybody's translation read differently? Into the heavens. Okay. I like the way this one reads. It is not perhaps that He passed into the heavens, like He's still going out, like on this long journey out to the far reaches of our universe, but He has passed through the heavens to another world. There's no reason that that other world could not be ever so close, just outside of the dimensions we're bound to. So there are interesting things to think about that. It appears after the Lord's resurrection, we see lots of these indications of His appearing, disappearing through the grave clothes, through the walls, and so on. The story of Flatlands kind of expands our minds to think of that, well, if nothing else, we say, yes, we understand he is not bound to this world as we are. At minimum, we know that. How exactly he works, well, that's his own, you know, that we're not going to try and figure it all out. But I hope it's interesting to think about anyway. And the things that we read in John certainly bring our minds to think about those things, about his coming into the locked rooms and exiting and so on. So, question, yeah?
How much this would back it up, the idea that Hebrews 11 talks about men and women of faith. Then
right.
Chapter 12 starts, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, is that referring to them?
I think that that's a good point, that, you know, the believers that have gone on, it says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and to support that, what did the Lord Jesus say concerning Abraham in John 8? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. How did he see it? I guess he could, you know, however that took place. So, anyway, yeah. Yes, certainly other scriptures, it's in one of the epistles, Ephesians, I don't know, where it talks about the angels looking into things and learning things that they see that God is doing in the lives of his saved people. And 1 Corinthians 11 echoes that, of course, with the head covering and so on. Yeah, so I don't know what the cloud of witnesses is. Makes sense that it's the believers, could be angels. There's maybe evidence for both. So, yeah, it's a great cloud of witnesses. All right, let's go over. When we give thanks over there, we'll also conclude our time here at Bucket Week as well. So we're not going to pray right now. We're going to go over there and pray there. Is that okay with everybody?
Okay.
No, we have the room all day, so you can, you know, do